Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to the Thinker Girls Pod Channel. I'm Stacey June.
I'm Christy Mercer.
G'day.
Hi. Should we sing a Christmas carol? Which one?
I'm not
Deck the halls with bells of holly.
La 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 la.
There you go. Got you on
Hello.
Board.
Welcome to the Christmas special of this Thinker Girls situation. Pod Channel duo. Radio hosts, try-hard TV hosts.
Oh, yeah, like we do it all.
Yeah.
Some well, some all right.
Writers-ish.
Sure.
We're
multi, you know what we are? Multifaceted.
I love that word. I really
multifaceted.
Do. I've used it in many a bios.
I know you bloody have.
We did a Christmas podcast last year, which
Holy
we
majuju.
Put in show notes. It got us into a bit of trouble. But one thing we did get from it was an influx of love and an interest in that particular show. So we were encouraged to do it again. Only this year's month by month, like last year we had a few big things happen, but I feel like they all led to greener pastures in a way, like the firing, obviously not, but like there was openings. And this year's felt for me challenge after challenge after challenge with still a whole lot of unknown. So it's difficult to go into things when you still sit in an uncomfortable but yet much more positive place.
Yeah. So if you missed that podcast, we went through month by month, January,
yes.
February, March.
Yes.
And gave a word or a feeling or just some kind of check-in as to, okay, where were we at in Jan?
That's right.
Where were we at in Feb? And you know what? There are a lot of people that listened along to that podcast because I think at this time of year, everybody gets incredibly reflective on what was the year that's been, what was the good, what was the bad, what do I want to take into next year, what do I want to leave at the door, what am I grateful for, what am I still healing from?
Yeah.
Like there's a, yeah, I think it's a good
bookmark.
It's a good little exercise. So yeah. maybe if this is something that you, I don't know, heard last year or maybe hearing for the first time, think about it in yourself, whether it's put it in your journal or think talking to a mate over it with wine. Like
yeah.
It's a cool thing to do.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you. But also, if you are sitting with a group of girlfriends, maybe you guys will all want to go through month by month together because it is really beautiful, but it can be challenging, turns out, because for me, I didn't find the concept challenging at all last year, and this year I find it challenging for many reasons. So you might want to listen right till the end because there are a few extra challenges and a few extra pieces of information that I think a few of you might be interested in hearing too. Mm-hmm. All right, so here we go. Where do we start?
Jan, I guess.
January.
That's probably a good place to start.
The first thing that comes to my mind is equipment hell. Like that year, that month, to me, I thought fun, but then I also thought that was the first month I started to really feel the anger around being fired. And then we had to set up our studios again, all by ourselves. And it felt very symbolic to me that we had gone backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very angry about that.
Well, I guess when you feel as though you've done something once before.
Many times
before. And then you feel like you're on the up. You know, you've got a whole team around you. You're in a national radio studio. You've got help. You've got resources. You've got ability to be able to action ideas.
Expand.
Yep. So then to go from all of that to literally nothing, I reckon you were probably – I found you were probably more frustrated than me for a multitude of reasons because I think you're techie and a lot more tech savvy. So there was a lot more interest and keenness around like, well, this should work and it doesn't. Whereas I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I stepped into that role a little bit. Yeah,
and you do. But I also think...
And we were setting up our studio again and trying to find ways that we were overcoming hurdles. We wanted to do a pod channel. I was determined to make sure that you guys and our listeners could find a place to get numerous different variety of shows and content, just because we changed the radio from radio show back to kind of more of a full-time podcasting thing. I wanted it to be, I was determined to make it like the listener experience didn't change. It actually was better. Mm. And that put a lot of pressure on us because, you know, as I'm like, what is it called? Like when you get an idea, it's like, that's it, you know? And kudos to you. You just sit there and just support. But in those moments of tech, I found that's where I got – where I was – wasn't lashing out, but I really felt very frustrated in those moments. I think they were really symbolic to me to where we had landed and where I had landed as a person.
Jen, for me, I think I felt – the word optimistic comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think – yeah, the months, say, October, November, December, there was so much change in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out of a big 9-year relationship, not having our contracts renewed in radio when radio is the only job that I'd ever done as an adult. And I'd just come off the back of a 4-week trip to Sri Lanka, and it was the first time I realised I had ever been an independent adult.
Yeah.
I'd never travelled and gone on a trip on my own. And I think off the back of that, I was like, fuck, like, I don't know how things are going to pan out. Mm-hmm. I've got no money. I don't know what's in store. But I had this. It'll all work out. Because I don't know. I think maybe that was just the way I coped. I think I probably wasn't being – maybe I wasn't being realistic. I don't know. But I just thought, nah, nah, nah. Because everything else in my life up until that point, I'm like, it's always had a way of figuring itself out somehow.
Mm.
So, I was like, I don't know how or when or why, but we'll be all right. I'll be all right.
I think I was taking out a lot of stuff in work because I was drinking a lot at that time too.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
Because we just got engaged, which was magic. But we were celebrating so much. So whilst
it's
that
also
was,
the time of year, though. Like,
yeah, and so it was heightened. So it was summer,
Christmas, New Year's.
We lived by the beach. We just got engaged. That was kind of crazy. It was like 9 months after we met. There was just so much energy and celebration around us that it was amazing and fun. But I come down. So then immerse that into change and unfamiliarity and a bit of anger really was just this, that's why that stands out strong. And I feel a bit guilty for saying that because there was a lot of joy underlying there too. But that joy, I think, was that it went a bit extreme with the celebration, the partying for what I can handle. Mm. So I more remember struggling with that than I remember the joy.
And let's not forget, because when there's dark stuff, you're almost a bit wanting to stick your finger up at the dark stuff too. I think there was probably a bit of F you, like, this is a good time. I'm going to enjoy myself. Yeah. I'm going to force myself to. So fuck, you know,
there's
like
heightened emotions.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of that. Yeah. Okay, Feb.
I don't know what I was doing in February. What were you doing in February?
I got the word reality. I think reality started a little bit to kind of sink in. Like I would avoid dad's calls. My dad's a real realist, and sometimes I love that about him and sometimes I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of that optimistic floating around towards the end of last year and the beginning of that year, coming off the back of that trip, everything's going to be right. How? Don't know, but it probably will.
Mm-hmm.
I think my dad would ask questions like, oh, well, what's going on? Have you got any job offers? You know, is it radio, you know, all this? And he would ask real practical questions, and I would just get really defensive where I was like, this isn't – we're not secretaries. Like, we don't apply for jobs. We don't have a resume.
Mm.
Like, something will come up, but in the back of my mind I could hear myself because I was getting defensive. Mm. But I think there was a reason why, because he was asking questions that I was too terrified to ask of myself. So there was not completely. I was still very optimistic and things would be fine and, you know, wanting to take that approach, trying to force it on myself probably.
Yeah.
But I think there was this little voice of reality that starts to go, okay. And I think money-wise I started to go, shit, what are you going to do now?
Because
you're also living in the eastern suburbs, living a pretty lavish lifestyle.
Yeah, we do.
You're going out most weekends, drinking, eating like a queen.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen here?
Yeah, yeah.
Like those funds are going to dry up at some point. Mm. So an element of what does my Monday to Friday or my 7-day week look like, the reality I started to be a bit like, that's terrifying.
Money started to come in February because what we would have been not working since October.
Mm.
We got some of that money, but then, you know, I had savings and bits and pieces, but you started to go, whoa. And I think as well that there was a time where really early days I also said to you, I'm tired. I'm tired of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's probably around that time, I think.
Yeah,
it was warm, I remember, when we had that chat.
Yeah, and I was just like, I've been busting my gut, and we both have, but I played a different role in selling the Thinker Girls, selling Thinker Girl before that, you know, and really hustling. And I was pretty exhausted and also gutted because that hustle had led to something quite amazing. And I just couldn't see the light between the tree. You know, I was just a bit, I was just tired by this point, I think. And the fear comes in, like you were saying. It's interesting because I think underlyingly there's similarities that we have throughout the year, but it's so interesting to see how you both can deal with it completely differently in different circumstances, different lives, but also how things play out. And that money of fear played out from, I think, exhaustion of I don't want to do that again.
Mm.
You know, we've heard the story about me, the garage and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, and I know that I didn't have that because I was getting married and I had this other form of security. But at the same time, I never looked at that as this fall back on thing because I've just always been so independent. It's been great and I've been very grateful of being able to have that support, but it's never felt easy or relaxed for me. I like the idea of being able to look after myself and contribute to what is now our new little family.
March.
Mm.
Lost. Mm. The word loss comes to mind. Because I was just like having this. I think it's not just the circumstances of like breakup, moving, losing a job, all that kind of stuff. Like they're obviously things that happen to you or you experience that you kind of get through, and it's full on that they all happen around a similar time.
Mm.
But I think on top of that, I this year have also been in a place in my life, I think at 28 and Saturn returns and all that kind of stuff, where I have, even exterior to all of those circumstances, even if we got another radio job and I was set, I think I would be going through this internal dialogue of saying, who are you, babe?
Mm.
What are you doing? Mm-mm. What do you want? Because I'd started to have that even when we had the security and we had the predictability of knowing where our next paycheck was coming.
There was something else bubbling in you.
Yeah.
I don't think you could ever articulate it.
No, I couldn't. And you know what it is? I have started to think about this. I operate very well. I mean, you could argue. You probably could very much argue with this. But internally anyway, I think I work all right not knowing and having space. I think sometimes I feel a bit – I feel confined with knowing what the next thing is sometimes.
Mm.
And whilst I'm like, I need stability, I need, you know,
yeah, because you've said that a lot. You said I really like the team and I like that stability, but then at the same time, I think you were kind of not liking that towards the end of KISS.
No, I wasn't. And I think I think back to my, it's been a very reflective year, and you figure yourself out and what you like and what you don't. And a lot of the things surprise you because you've been telling yourself for 28 years
100%.
One thing, when in actual fact, you know, when I was like craving stability and I relied on you so heavily for that, I put all of that basically on your shoulders. Mm. I think in actual fact, I think about, you know, even my first radio job, that not knowing, you know, like you're climbing, like that element of hustle and needing to get that this so I can get that next job, and from that next job where, but I still had no, although I had an idea of where I wanted to get, there was still a lot of unknown. So that when we were in a 2-year contract, which is quite rare for big contracts in radio like that, often it's a 12-month thing, for 2 years, in that second year, I mean, there was stuff going on in my relationship, but I was kind of waning around a bit where I was like, I'm 26.
Yeah, you weren't awake. Like
I was coasting.
Yeah.
I've achieved my dream job, tick, and I was fucking lost. I didn't know what to do with myself. I don't know. It's like when you're in a photo and you're like, what do I do with my hands? I'm like, I'm here and I'm present, but I'm also somewhere else. So trying to reinvigorate and force yourself to come up with another dream or aspiration because you feel like you've clocked the one you've had for the last decade was a head fuck for me. Because at the same time, I was incredibly grateful to be where we were.
Not to mention the grief you have. I don't know if this is what you can say, but you go back and go, because we both had these conversations where it was like, where our trade is radio. Like if you're a plumber, you go find another plumbing job. And so there was definitely, there was, I guess, an ability to be like, all right, let's have radio meetings together independently. But then there was also, and I know this is how I felt, and you mentioned that you felt it. I don't know if you still feel it now, but at the time we were both like, I want to do content I want to do. So as much as there's like this element of that's what I fell back on, there was also this lack of ability to keep going with that extra radio dream because we didn't just clock getting some, you know, some kind of slot. We clocked doing this crazy content that I think no one ever thought we were going to do.
How do you go back? Yeah, that was the feeling, yeah. Right? That was the feeling.
We were both like very aware that we could go and knock on and say, hey, I can join this team, or I could do this, or I could do that separately or together. But it was very hard to get your head around the kind of shows then that were available that.
And it's a feeling of not being able to go back. And I listened to this podcast the other day about disruption and how incredibly important it is, and how that stagnant, often laziness, boredom, feeling of coasting can come into play for a lot of people, but particular personality types, which I think is mine. When there's predictability, I freak. Like I don't really quite know how to handle that sometimes.
Yeah.
So.
Which has been incredibly, because you've found that more, you've kind of essentially worked against any of that. So any predictability, you have really thrived on the new music stuff and doing all those things of this kind of guessing game. And you can tell your energy is really alive in this, I guess. It's definitely not a hustle, but it's like this unknown.
That's what I mean.
Whereas I have craved the opposite. So working alongside you has been incredibly challenging for me. Yeah.
No
and
shit.
Vice versa, I'm sure.
Because it's been it's been the thing that I've thought that I wanted the most and I have avoided the most.
Yeah. Well, March for me was like a static, insane, surprising joy. Like that I've never experienced in my life. I've never experienced this feeling of sparkle. Like I can't even tell you, because I fell pregnant. And it was the first time we ever tried, and it was really thrown into the mix, to be really honest, because I have nothing else fucking going on. And I was like, well, I'm 34 and we're together and you're 43 and we want to have kids. And whilst this is all happening, maybe we just have a go now and start the process. Like, might not mean that we fall pregnant, but we could just at least have a crack.
First go.
Whoa. So I was just totally in shock. Totally in shock. But it was a good shock, which was good to know. But I, in hindsight, looking back, and I didn't feel it at the time, but in hindsight, looking back, I was in way more shock than I think I realized at that time.
Right.
I never, because we've got, our odds are insane. It was just so unlikely that that was going to happen. So it was almost like this, we'll play with fire because we know it's safe. Like, not that you don't want to fall pregnant, but you're kind of trying. And I've heard a lot of people say this, that they try and then they fall pregnant and then they bawl their eyes out because they're like, oh, fuck, it's happening. Like, this is going to change my life. So, yeah, it was complete, like, you're kidding me. And then I had this moment where I was like, oh, okay, I don't reckon this could have happened so quickly if I had have been at the radio station. And I had this moment where I thought it was all panning out. So it was.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I thought maybe I had some like serious stress with KISS. You know, it wasn't. I love radio and I have loved radio. And looking back, both of us have said we've worked at different networks. There was a really full on intensity to that particular network that it wasn't healthy. Mm-hmm. And for different reasons, I had adrenal fatigue in the middle of the year and it was just stressful. My body was under a lot of stress. We both were. It was intense. It was an intense period. Our producing team, everybody was. We were under-resourced and whilst we were having a fucking ball, which I was, my body was really struggling, I think, with also being on nights and, you know, kind of this real warped world and these 13-hour days. And, yeah, I think it takes its toll on anybody, not just myself. And I also felt like I was running that team, you know, and so without having any kind of recognition or sometimes respect for that. So it was just constantly an inner dialogue that really flared up anxiety for me of just who are you, who else is going to, you know, like it was just this insanely stressful situation that was going on behind closed doors that I tried to communicate but it was also hard. So I just thought to myself, there's not a fucking chance I could have fallen pregnant like this if I was in that place. So I really felt
that's a big
this,
thing to realize, I think
too. Well, it was this, I really felt this beautiful moment where I felt like it was all gonna work out.
Then
April,
and then it didn't.
Do you want to lead into April then?
Well, then we were ecstatic and we told lots of people because it was kind of this insane moment and I wasn't one for rules or process or tradition. This 12-week thing didn't really feel that it was relevant to us or to me. So it was a pretty magical time. And then I had a panic attack the day before our first scan. And I just wasn't sure what it was about. I started to feel not pregnant anymore. I was quite sick, like I was very nauseous very early, had massive boobs. I was thinking about having sex the other day pregnant and how awesome it was because I was just like, my boobs are pretty saggy. They like came up and big.
They were huge.
But they sat up, was like awesome. And I felt very sensual and sexy. And so I was feeling great and then I just didn't feel pregnant all of a sudden. And then I had a panic attack. And then the next day we didn't have a heartbeat. So we were in the scan and I knew, but you don't know because you've never been pregnant before. And everything that I thought was working out fell apart again. And it just was harrowing. And the grief continued in a way the next few months that I thought I kind of got through bits, but I didn't expect to fall pregnant already. So then it was just blow after, yeah. You know, it was so intense and my panic attacks were flaring up and Ben and I were fighting a lot. It was just, he was in shock and went through his own grief in a different way. And it was a terrible time.
Was it also the shock of the plan or the path that you thought in your head changing? Totally. You know what I mean? You know how you attach all kind of sense of hope and things are looking up and
yeah, imagine I get a book deal and I can write while I'm pregnant.
Yeah, and as much as you're like, don't get ahead of yourself, of course there are those ideas that you put in your head that you're like, shit, I've been through the ringer and now it's time.
To
feel good. You deserve this. Yeah.
This so is then why. So there was going to be something bad and it was going to be then matched with something good and it wasn't. I mean, I've spoken about the podcast and I go into length of this story so we can put that in show notes also about how magic that March was. And I don't want to ever take away from that period of time, but it was short and it was not, you know, it doesn't, it can be remarkably beautiful and just as equally gutting and devastating, you know, a few weeks after. We were just under 8 weeks. Just under 8 weeks, and then it continued on. I didn't miscarry naturally, so I was still pregnant for many weeks after that scan. So, and it was a horrific time too, because in those 10 days, they didn't really check my file. So they were like, your dates could be wrong. And I'm like, we fell
pregnant.
So they like
gave you more hope in thinking that there
yes,
was possibility?
Yes, they said 50% could be that I've got your dates wrong. And I said, I said to Ben when we got home, because you're in so much shock, I said, that's not right. Like, we did IUI. They track my ovulation. Like, the date is bang on. We know when 24 hours, give or take. And so Ben was like, don't be like that. You need to be positive. I'm like, but use your fucking brain. He was just clinging to anything. Mm-hmm. And so that was hard. And, you know, it was pretty powerful how I was able to be in Melbourne with my family. But I was on a – I remember I was on a blues train. Oh, fucking lol.
So random.
And I kept thinking that I was bleeding, like I was going to start bleeding. And I got off the train. I like made like there was a stop, and I just walked home by myself. Everyone was freaking, and I was like, "I can't do this.
Can't be here. Yeah.
Nah." Because you just never knew when it was gonna come. Like you never knew if it was gonna exit your body at a certain time. Oh, it's rough.
April for me. God, I reckon that was a bit what the fuck.
Mm.
I think that's when reality started to kick in. That's when I got my first nannying job.
Mm-hmm.
I remember speaking to you on that blues train, and I was sitting on one of the kids' beds.
On the blues train?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I was like folding washing downstairs. That time for me felt it felt like what a fall from grace. That's how I felt.
Mm.
I was just like, it was confronting for me to sit down in front of a laptop and think, all right, Christy, it's time for you to write a resume. What can I pop on there? Right? From the time I was 20, I'd worked in radio on air. So I'm like, great. I'm good at radio. I can tell a story. I can spin shit. You know, I get content. I'm funny. I'm good at storytelling. But also, radio doesn't want me. So what other skills have I got to be able to translate that to other than spins a good yarn over a beer at the pub? Nothing. And I went through this whole self-loathing mode where I would I was like, you're a fucking loser. Mm-hmm. This was the dialogue I had to myself. Like, mm-hmm. I would sit in front of that laptop and I would like – I just remember sitting there Googling good resume, literally copy and pasted the skills that someone on Google had said, because I was like
– But what skills did they have? Like, what was the job – what was their resume? Like,
it was like standard resume.
Oh,
like,
okay, yeah, yeah.
For
yeah.
anyone, you know.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Good work ethic, you know, like works well in a team. I was like, because I was that lost.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think
yeah.
sometimes you have those moments of panic where yeah, you go, yeah. I know nothing. Ugh, there's nothing here. I'm yeah. a dickhead. I'm a loser. I know nothing. I'm going to die in a gutter. I can't afford food. So I think I was also like, genuinely, what jobs am I going to apply for? And that's when I told you, I was like, I think I'm going to have to drive an Uber or work in a cafe or nanny
and
kids.
And then, of course, me going
and
into
Stacey
like,
goes
I was like, can we contact Uber and create a series? Remember
and I was
I said
like, bitch,
that?
I just want to go undercover, please. Just, I want to be anonymous.
I was trying. And then I was also saying I didn't want to do that stuff anymore, but I couldn't.
And then you went into brand management mode where I was like, I'm going to fucking have to work in a cafe because I literally like I think my money got down to like it was under $100 in my bank account and I was like doop de doo de doo. And but there was still part of me that was like something will come up, like something magical will happen.
And we were also working still pretty hard on this
but
channel,
I just knew
you know,
but it was in denial mode because I was like I'll just sit at my laptop for 7.5 hours a day doing Thinker Girl stuff, right? Like answering emails, doing online. So like hopefully I'll just do this and something will come out of thin air. But that was a real time where I started, reality started setting. I think my family is like, I love them and they were so supportive. But dad in particular was a bit, he was a bit worried about me. He was like, look, I'm not, he's like, don't give up hope. Like something will come of it. But also in the meantime, you're going to have to start thinking about the reality.
Yeah.
Which is, it doesn't matter. But I remember he was really quite integral in that just get on with it mentality, because he's just a, I get that from him, that resilience for sure. I'm incredibly resilient. Where he was like, it's just money. And I was like, but what about if someone sees me working in a cafe and we've got to pretend that the brand's doing better than it is, Dad? And he was like, who gives it? He goes,
and that was when you got the cafe job, the jig was up for everything. We started talking about it on the show. We did. We like, we
but just, that was
the,
really
it was the straw
wracking.
That broke the camel's back, that, because it was incredibly inspiring. I remember watching you being so inspired, so broken, but yet so inspired from afar, because I was like, none of it matters. Like, it just, it needs to just, at the end of the day, like, what's a brand? Like, we're honest. Like, it has to just be what it is.
Yeah, and we should put the link to that in show notes, because there were so many people that connected to that episode, which was how interlinked we are as people to what we do for a job.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And society puts so much pressure on what success looks like, especially to be defined by your occupation. And we were in this place where for the entire time, for the last 10 years, somebody had asked me what I did for a job and I said I work in radio, and I got the most beautiful, wow.
Yeah. It's such
a pride. Oh my God, tell me about it. Oh, this reaction.
And which we used to end up hating, hilariously.
But I felt ashamed that I couldn't give people or myself that reaction of wow anymore. I was a bit like, oh. I'm a bit embarrassed.
Well, we spoke about that on that show as well, because so much of our family's own story was very linked into our success. So when you become semi like profile or known or whatever, and it might not have been a Lara Bingle or fucking Nicole Kidman level of fame, but you know, in our version, in our circles, we're probably some of the more well-known people or some kind of a version of celebrity or fame that anyone knows. You know, I don't think there are many people, like, unless they work in the industry in my family, that know all of these people that are on the telly or on the radio. So our careers also were very linked to people's identities with what we were for them to say they are. So it was, you know,
you take on that sense of loss or disappointment from other people.
Because you can hear
too,
it in them. You know, what am I going to say to Sheila at work that's asking where you've gone on the radio? I'm like, well, I don't fucking know, because I don't know for myself. So I'm not so concerned about Sheila Arnie fucking Sarah. I have so many Arnies. Like, I was thinking I'm going to pop one name out. No, just me. But Arnie Sarah's like kind of hiding it as concern for you, but then it's also about what she or your dad or it's other people that love you are going to say to their people for their story, because not only did we get this, oh, wow, that's what you do, but so did people that loved us. And so that pressure was intense. Those answers, I remember my uncle saying to me, you know, like, what do you do all day? You know, like, you were just some person that sat around. Like, and it was just so hard to even remotely explain that to people. So you can't get angry at them, but there were so many more layers that went into our own struggle with it that people don't understand. You'd get the calls all the time because so many people were invested in the kind of careers that we had.
Yeah, it felt like a letting down. I felt like I was letting people down.
I just felt embarrassed and quite, I think I got defensive in many ways, you know, like, fuck, like, you know. And I would try and pretend it was all
great,
which for some of it was, and our audience by this point started to grow again. That's another thing.
So how did you feel
April, May? Well, I think in May I had my actual miscarriage, so I was just so consumed with all this. It was so hard. Like, you know, there'd be days where I'd come in and record these shows and I would just be a shell of myself. I could barely get out of bed. By this point, I was rough. You know, I was in a bad, bad way. And it's really hard for me to say that because I know I was talking about it at the time. But when I look back, I'm like, yeah, I was depressed. I was just, I had to really, really motivate myself to get up. Mm. So I ended up having a voluntary DNC because the embryo, whatever it's called, the sac, I don't fucking know the technical terms, but my baby wouldn't leave. So I had to go and do it myself. And we got to almost 12 weeks. I was going into a second trimester and I'm like, oh, no, I'm not.
Because you're waiting for it to pass naturally.
Yeah, I wanted. And a few people, I knew I would have a DNC in my gut.
Why?
And this is, I just knew it wasn't going to come. I just knew this little spirit was kind of not, was comfy in there. Because I gave it space to live till it wanted to live. Many people are like, I need it to be this. And I did so much self-work and so much healing and so much meditation and ceremony around being like, it's okay that you were only 7.5 weeks old. Not even forgive you. I'm okay. You were here to have the journey you needed. I wrote letters. I really tried to let that be okay for whatever it was that that spirit needed. Mm. It was a very spiritual time for me. On the flip side of that, I wasn't doing any yoga and I was often scared to meditate because I was going into such a spiritual place with it, but it was also horrifically terrifying. I would come out of meditation sobbing and would have visions of baby. It was just full on. So, I mean, I think I couldn't even have probably worked even if I had it fucking, you know. So I would show up to this show and I would just be a shell of myself. But we could see that our audience was not only expand, it wasn't only returning, so people were finding us after KISS, but it was growing. I think in a couple months, like I think by the middle of the year, our audience had doubled and it was insane. We were, you know, but it's so easy to forget that stuff when you don't have money as a currency. At this point, we didn't.
No. May. I don't know what.
And I think also, sorry to interrupt, but at that point as well, I think I was also told I couldn't get a book meeting. This was the time where I'd pitched this book. I'd written a chapter and it's just fucking blow after blow. So I decided.
When you're not in a great place anyway.
Nah, and I decided. I was told that it's not that I didn't get a meeting. I was told that they needed more stuff, which is when I decided to build the website. Mm-hmm. But it was a long process from there because I was just quite a broken human. And I was doing some consulting stuff on the side for friends and, you know, writing here and there. But it was, yeah, there wasn't a lot going on.
I don't know what I was doing in May. I think there was certainly a feeling of spiraling a bit. Like I was drinking a lot and a lot of kind of – I'd hang out for weekends, man, hang out. Because I was like, now I'm just like everybody else. Everyone else has got 2 days off and I've got the 2 days off and –
yeah, they hate their work lives and then they hang for the weekend. That's
Mondays
a lot of the norm.
Were Sunday nights and Mondays were dread because I was like, what now? Like, here's the reality.
Yeah, Mondays were awful because it was like we had no structure.
That was the reality and we didn't record till Tuesday. So sometimes on a Monday I'd often be like hungover in that self-loathing mode that you often have if you fucking love your life.
Yeah.
After having a big night, you know, you're sleep deprived, you know, alcohol is a depressant anyway. I've had my fair share of issues with booze and will continue to. I don't think I'm, you know, I don't think I'm ever somebody that can just mindlessly drink and not count their drinks. So, you know, all that kind of stuff, which I've spoken about at length and decided to be sober for over a year. Would be now a year and a half ago. And I just was running. I was running away. But I also had this self-dialogue where I was like, nah, it's shit. So even though I didn't have any money, right, I'd borrowed money off Dad, which I'm very lucky that I could have. Not much, but that money, I'd spend that on weekends. I'd go out and I'd be like, fuck it. It's been a shit one. You deserve this. I was almost like this rebellion against the fact that I was angry and things kind of had it worked out. Yeah, so weekends were a chance to escape that reality because in some way, if you're going out partying on the reg, right, I'm not saying this is for the case for everybody, but certainly the one of the mate that I was going out on weekends with, she was trying to escape her own reality too.
Mm.
Things weren't great for, you know, in other areas with her life. And I think I'm not saying that for everybody that goes out and has a big night, but I think
most people that look back at that time
consistently, yeah, I was running,
yeah,
because I was like, and the higher the highs, the lower the lows,
mm,
you know. So mm, we'd, you know, those really funny nights that you might have, and that also I have no regret about,
yeah, yeah,
because there are times where we go, oh my God, remember we met that guy and then we ended up back up at his penthouse and then his brother knew blah blah and then someone brought out that caftan and we had that dance off and then we were doing shots here and then we ended up going to this penthouse balcony club, like the most crazy,
mm,
fucking full on weird, amazing, fun things. Everything was heightened.
Mm. It's so funny when you get to that point too. You know, I've had that in different spikes in the time that I was single, and it's like this. It's like you somehow gain control of an uncontrollable situation, and I don't know that you feel like in the moment you've got control, but when you're having a good time or you are kind of going fuck it, fuck it, fuck it, it's like you've got the control,
but oh, you actually, for sure, don't.
You know what I mean?
For
like
sure.
I remember that. That's definitely how I would have felt back in when I was doing that, and when I still do it, you don't have to be single to be in that space.
No. But the amount of times I would have said fuck it or YOLO,
yeah,
like to justify staying or one more or, you know, yeah, all those kind of things where like I knew deep in my gut I didn't want, like, need to.
Yeah, it's funny. June, what was June? For me, it was like planning a big secret, which was that Ben and I were going to elope in New York. So we were, I mean, fuck, there wasn't a lot of planning, I've got to say. We decided that we were doing it. So we had to kind of put this invite out to tell people that we did it. And I had to buy an outfit. and it was just making sure that we just saved a bit of cash and buckled down. But also by the mid-June, we were ready to party, Ben and I. We'd like had a year and we're just like, we were a bit fuck it by
at that
point
too. You were going, fuck 2018. I was like, we're not even halfway through it. People normally get that caper on in about November.
And in June, that was where we really also honed in, put our heads down and went, we were very close. We'd gone to another stage of a television show. So by this point, we had been given this opening to really not just, we'd pitched and it had been kind of swimming around for a while. And then it was like, okay, we actually want to talk commissioning. It's going to be put towards whether we do this or not. So we need episode breakdowns. And that was when we were working pretty hard on that for a few weeks. Mm.
Which is exciting.
It was so great. And we had such a ball doing it, you know, like I really enjoyed it. It was long hours but we were just going through old shit and I've always loved and been very passionate about the content that we do and have done. And it was just nice to be back working together in that kind of capacity because throughout the year we've both kind of survived in our own different ways. So we come in, come out, and it felt like we were creating again together, not just surviving together.
Mm.
So that was really nice too.
June for me, I think I was going through this like phase of deep questioning where I was like, I'd gone into survival mode and I was escaping and rebelling against that on weekends, but I had a cafe job, two nannying jobs, and we were doing the podcast. And I think it's really important, which we've spoken about on this show and on the radio show before, about having jobs or doing jobs that you don't like because it gives you a bit of perspective on, okay, something to compare it to.
Mm.
And I think I filled up my time, and I still do this. I fill up my time so much that I don't know, I don't really have that much chance to think about things.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, I think everybody thinks about, you know, the 6-month, 12-month mark, you know, and I had kind of given myself that 12, like this year, I was like, 2018, let's throw lots of things against the wall and see what sticks.
Mm.
So when you start to get to that halfway mark, whether you're a half empty, half full kind of gal, I started to be like, okay, it's half the year now. Where are we at? What are you doing? So I started intensely journaling again. I hadn't been meditating at all.
Mm.
And I started to go a bit more, you know, and through within. That time I was sleeping with a lot of people. I think I was going on a lot of dates. Like there was that guy, you know, that I was seeing, and I think that kind of fizzled out around.
Well, it was a few more months to go because we would have come back and got married, and then you threw that din. No, that was engagement.
No, it was the engagement. Yeah, so right. I think it was okay. Around that time.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I think I started to get a bit like, okay, where are we at? Let's this has gotten a bit messy now. So for you to move forward or create anything new or think about new things, I knew I had to ask myself some questions. So I started journaling, and every night I would write like, who am I? What do I want? What am I good at? What do I like? What like really going back to basics.
What were you writing?
I'm a creative. I'm a storyteller. A connection with people. I miss having a team, and because I feel like with us, whilst it was stunning and we had our own little team, there was still like an element of it being pressurized, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think because I was single too, I was, I don't know, like I didn't have many other outlets to be able to think about other ideas or other ways of expressing myself, I could find frustrating. So I think that was like this building mode where I started to think about, and I kept coming back to what I always wanted to do and loved to do when I was younger, and that was music and singing.
How? So when you were writing creative and all that, you would get to that at the bottom, or was that like where was
no,
that?
No, it was always
list?
At the top.
Yeah, right.
Always at the
but
top.
But you didn't say that.
Nah.
Like I just was then when I said, no, but when I just said to you then, I was like, what were you writing? Because I thought you were going to say that, but you still didn't say it. You're like, I was a storyteller, I was this, and you didn't say music at all.
I think, no. Maybe singer wasn't at the very top, but I think what I've realized is the way I communicate, the way I storytell, or the way I connect is through.
Yeah, okay.
Because that's when I was like, well, how?
Yeah.
So then I can write all this fancy shit on a list, but also practically, how am I going to do that? And that's when I kept coming back to the meat. But how? I didn't know.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
July for me was intense and amazing all at once. I got married, and in New York we had a trip that we went away for about 3 weeks. It was my other husband's 40th birthday, Ben's best mate. and he wanted to go overseas. He's going through a marriage separation or divorce, and he was kind of saying, you two are playing on my birthday and I want to go. And at the time,
you two is in the band, not you two.
Oh, sorry.
I was like, you guys, you and Ben were playing? Like, what?
So he said he wants to go. And so the conversation opened, and Ben looked like he was about to have a stroke, because at this point, Ben and I had very different ways of managing money. And he's really traditional, has always had very traditional jobs. And he's still in media and he's a creative, but he hasn't really ever done the freelance thing. He's always been lucky enough to be able to roll pretty much back to back of work. And he's very, very successful and very good at what he does. But that's just not been his journey. He also owns property. Like, he's just done things a different way. I, on the other hand, are fucking rogue and had so many different careers before I found my way into media and was just constantly experimenting and trialing. That's really what my the big scope of my career has been jumping to things that inspire me, and that doesn't mean that it stays the same. And I've been very brave in letting things go and starting things new from pretty young. And I don't think at the time in my 20s I ever looked at it as being brave. I thought I was just a fucking couldn't decide what I wanted to do and blah blah blah. But when I look at it now, I think it's so hard to walk away from things that are good or stable, and I kept doing that, and I've always done that, and I've always been able to fall back on an understanding of law of attraction and really trusting that process. Was money coming in the same level as it was when I was on a radio salary? Fuck no. Was money coming in enough for us to hit particular points? Yeah, here and there. But I had this ability to be like, well, you've got to give me this space to be able to work through this. And also, there was lots of loss and different things that went on as well with my path. So we got to this point where Ben's like going grey, because I'm like, we should go to fucking, we're going to come. And he's just like, how? And I knew exactly how. There was total ways for us to go. He's been able to set himself up very well, but isn't a person that, he's a rainy day person. And I sat down with him one day and said, I understand you've got this amount of money, but what do you want to do with it? What is it there for? You don't need that much money for an emergency. And we really had to sit down and have a bit of a think about. I respected his way because I certainly didn't need to be as, I guess, flaky and unstable as I had been, particularly when we're thinking about starting a family. So I definitely wanted to learn more about his way, but I needed him to start also learning about mine.
Well, I remember there was one point where you said, it's a definite that Ben will go. Maybe I'll join him.
That's
because
right.
I remember you were encouraging him.
Yeah, that was
you were
first
like,
and
use
foremost.
Your money. Your best friend has gone through this stuff. He wants to go overseas. It's been a rough year. Use the money that
that's
you've worked
right.
so hard for.
Yeah, I wasn't like, I want to go to New
York.
No,
that's. I just
yeah.
thought it was worth pointing out.
Thank
because
you.
It wasn't. But it wasn't always a done deal that you two were going.
No.
You were the one encouraging him and going, oh, fuck, I've been through the ringer. But also,
so
you
was
go,
he.
You
yeah.
go, babe. Yeah.
And he can afford it. Like, it wasn't a question. And what's it all there for if you can't enjoy it? And so, you know, so he did that and he said, well, I really want you to come. And then we had already thought about eloping. And we thought about eloping in March, April, because that would have been a year that we would have been together. And then we felt pregnant and obviously lost our baby. So that changed our mind. So then we re-looked at it and said, should we elope in New York? And we said, yeah, fuck yeah. That's exactly what we should do. And that's exactly what we did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the best. And it was crazy because I didn't think I wanted to get married. And I found my way to Ben and I found my way of being able to commit to him and a way to celebrate it that worked for us. And it was a magical day. It wasn't the, you know, it won't be the best day of my life for the rest of my life. I don't see it as this. It's going to always be an integral, special, incredible day. I hope there's more days that are even better. Like, I don't have this pressure on that, you know? Like, I wanted to marry him. I wanted to be with him. However that played out was going to be incredibly special, but and a crazy moment in time to really unite us. But what I wanted was that that confirmation that we were going to be together.
July for me was newness. Rediscovery.
Mm-hmm.
And I do actually think that the older you get, the harder it is to sit in that place of not knowing anything.
Yeah.
It really is. I think we all get a bit proud and we know the way and what's worked for us in the past and a bit know-it-all. It's very difficult to kind of open up your hands and be like, I know nothing.
Yeah.
Someone teach me, or I'm going to learn this from the start again.
Mm.
And that's how I had this feeling where I was like, okay, I kind of dropped, I felt like I really dropped that charade and that pride where I was like, okay, if you keep thinking about this music thing, and singing again, because I sung a lot when I was younger and studied music after school. And then I lost a lot of confidence in myself. I had a couple of people tell me that you're not really good enough. And then I thought to myself, you're not really good enough. So I shut up shop really, and I didn't sing in public or at gigs or anything like that for probably about 10 years. And then I just got a radio job. So there was always an excuse to be too busy not to do it.
Yeah.
When in actual fact, it felt incredibly personal and wasn't something that I was really willing to do and open myself up for judgment for.
Mm.
So this was the time of the year where I was like, I'm sick of hearing you, Christy, say that maybe this is a possibility. If you're going to do it, just do it now. Yeah. It's time. It's been 6 months. Like, you know, financially I was in a place where I was doing fucking random jobs and I was able to pay rent and still enjoy myself on a weekend. Mm-hmm. And whilst I strip back a lot of things, like, it's hilarious when you realize it's all relative and, you know, you can live kind of comfortably on a big amount of money, but also quite comfortably on this minimal amount of money too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I went for a year and a half without never having shellac on my fingernails. You know what I mean? Like,
those things, first world problems.
Yeah, there were just things where I was like,
you're still living right near the beach in Sydney, like, you know.
You know what I mean? Like, I just kind of stripped it right back.
Woe is me.
I was quite comfortable really in that, where I was like, I don't need to get my hair done. I don't need new clothes. Because there was probably, I don't know, for over 12 months, I didn't buy any new clothes.
It was funny because we would still get sent things here and there and, you know, like, we were very provided for. When it needed, it showed up.
I just didn't really need, just didn't need all of the things that you thought you needed desperately. No. So then July was the time that I did my first ever paid singing gig. First ever. Yeah. And I just felt like I kind of opened up a bit of a floodgate and a new part of myself.
Yeah. As a different person too.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it would have been such an interesting thing if you had started doing that again, and it would have not felt the same, but it was almost like you had paused a button, like a tape player, and then just unpaused it, and you kind of went through the same storyline, which is impossible because it was 10 years ago or something. So it was, you know, it's just interesting to see when you start doing something that you love and you have the last story you have was maybe not a positive one.
Yeah.
You can see how much you are also a different person, and that's not necessarily the challenges you'll face now because they're challenges from 10 years ago.
I think I'd had enough hindsight of 2018 by that point, just after the halfway mark, where I'd started to see the positivity and the possibility and the newness and the real rough pushing you through the door before you're ready for something. I started to see all of that side of the bad stuff. Of the change and the feeling unhinged and not knowing what the fuck was happening, because I knew deep down in my heart there is no possible way I would have felt as vulnerable and stepped into music again or a space that felt like I was starting again had I not been forced.
It's interesting.
I wouldn't have. There's no way. If we got another job at Kiss, there's no way. Like, if I just got job after job after job, I would have died being like, oh, maybe I could have sung again.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
I was 28 when that happened to me, of wanting to be on air.
Mm.
Same deal. It was interesting. The show was no longer.
Yeah.
So it was like, you move to Sydney and keep being an online producer, or you fucking actually go for your dream. Like,
yeah, you get force.
Yeah.
Because if you had the option, if someone said, hey, this thing you've been thinking about,
and it's hard.
You'd be like, no.
Same deal as well with you. The thing that you were kind of walking away from, or at least changing it up, is something that you also liked. Do you know what I mean? Like, I liked the radio show I was working on. So, and you know, you would have liked the radio job and the thinking, those kinds of things. Mm. And as much as it did go, there was still elements of you could keep doing them, or you could keep concentrating on them 100% of your time if we really wanted to, I think, which is hard for us because we could continue to put 100% of our energy into this brand if we wanted to.
Yeah.
But it got to a point where it was like, I think that we've got enough going on to let it breathe a bit and see what presents itself.
Yeah.
And that was what we decided to do fairly early on. And the podcast channel was the main thing of that until the TV show came up. So then August happened and we got the rejection of that TV show. So we were told that it was definitely not happening. And that was a really big thing for me. I looked at that as a very big symbol on, I don't know, where we were going commercially, and the feedback was all really, it was the ABC that we almost got off the ground with, and I really, really rate this executive, and his feedback was quite poignant and...
Poignant in that you agreed with it almost?
I don't know. I just think that it taught me things, or it just allowed me to think about things that I hadn't thought about before. Right. So it opened up my mind, and I don't get that all the time. So it was just, okay, right, I've got to think about this. And I came back and said to Ben, I want to buy this online course. And essentially it was called a Spirit Junkie course, and it was online. It was incredibly expensive. And I said, I need to come back with something, probably a bit similar to you. This is the second half of the year. I've got to come back to figure it out. Mm-hmm. We also found out the day I got back from New York, we found out that ABC was off, but we also got our first big revenue from the pod channel. And it was a great day. McCafe. Remember McCafe?
Yeah. I was in Byron with my friends at the time.
And it was a big amount of money.
We were like,
yeah, it was awesome.
It was shock too.
Yeah, it was. And it was like, okay, the TV stuff didn't work, but the podcast stuff is happening. Mm. So let's just keep doing that. But that's not a full-time gig anymore.
Yeah.
And so it was like, what the fuck am I going to do? Mm. So I did this course and thought about, all right, I'm going to do it to try and figure out what kind of website I want to craft. I knew I wanted to do single girl stories. I knew I wanted to tell my stories and lessons of when I was single to help other people in that situation. I'd been very clear on that for a very long time. So I thought, fuck it. If I can't figure out how I'm going to get a book off the ground immediately, I don't really want to self-publish at this point. I'll consider that if I need to. But I was really determined to put together something that gave a bit of a, I don't know, just get my work out there in a way. So I did this course, which was all about finding ways to create through your spirituality. And at this point, I was getting pretty hardcore. I was starting to hear a lot of things. I was starting to cross over a lot. I was meditating ridiculous amounts. I had this time, and I was going really within because I was incredibly challenged personally. And I was just trying so hard to get out of this anxiety kind of funk that I was in. And it was day to day, and it was hard and dark and grey sometimes, and then dark, and then grey was a good option. It was really got grey. Eventually, I would get maybe some shades of light blue, but it was really full on. And I was like, I need to shift this up. So I did this course, and towards the end of it, I realized that it was a life coaching course. I had no idea. I signed up because I wanted to find different ways to create, similar to how you were talking about with storytelling. Like, how can I get the things out that I'm supposed to be doing as opposed to what I want to do or what I strategize to do? Because I'm a vicious, very, very, very good strategist. I have vision and I know how to get things off the ground. But I was done with that approach because I had done that in the past. I'd done that with the Thinker Girls, and it didn't pan out the way I wanted. So I was like, no, I'm going to go back and take my hands off the wheel here. And if you listen to the show before, I talk about surrender and I talk about the moment of choosing a sign. I can put that in show notes as well. And I really said, okay, you guide me. I'm done with making the rules. I can't figure this out. I'm done with figuring this out. Tell me where to go. So that was a great month for me. I felt great. I started to feel, I was challenged still, but I felt alive.
Is this July? August?
August.
August, yeah.
I started to feel really alive. I was getting up and just waiting to go and do this course. I am a self-help junkie. Like, I've always loved it. I've always frothed of it. And then I was doing it in a course to essentially teach others. But I didn't really realize that was what the course was. So it kind of accidentally fell into it being so much of a way to teach. And I loved it.
You were back that month, though.
Yeah.
Not back in... And I don't mean it's like, oh, you disappeared and you're sad and then surprise, you're back. But there was certainly
my personality
different energy. There was a different energy, like coming in. We record, our studio is in your home.
Mm-mm-mm.
So, yeah, it was just a different space of a morning to come in on a Tuesday or whatever day we would record or see each other. And there was like a sense of busyness around you again. That was like, all right, well, I've just got to finish this and let's grab a coffee. That was just a different.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were like.
Wasn't dragging my feet as much.
Nah, you're awake. You know, you were like, all right, we've got to do this because we've got to be done by this point.
And I think as well, when we started to make money from the pod channel too, that helped me a bit, you know, because I kind of was feeling pretty unmotivated at times.
Yeah.
So I felt like I was back with that too. So it was a good, time.
August for me was hustle mode.
Mm.
I was like, all right, let's work. All right, the music thing, you've done your first gig, you've got a taste for it. Now what? So I just had this sense of if you're going to make it work, let's give it a good hard crack.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's no rules to how to do this. And I was very around this time, had been for a lot of the year, but this time in particular, very outward facing.
Mm.
Like I'm very much, I think, a curious kind of learner. Very like, what's your way? And I'm not saying I'll agree with it, but I'll take it in and compare it and think we'll take bits and pieces out of it. And I think in that space where I was just meeting so many different people and inspired by so many different people, musos have this ability, I think that often comes with it being any kind of creative, but when there's not that much money in it, but you do it anyway, it really builds this real sense of passion. And you know, a lot of them are very clever and could have, you know, their whole value system is often very, and not to say you can't be successful, you know, financially as a muse or whatever, but I think there's that real sense of
I do it for the love of it.
I do it for the love of it, man, because that's what they value, you know, and what that breeds.
Different life priorities.
Yeah, it really breeds this type of person that just does what they love and is incredibly present, and there's this stunning community of people. And I was just very, had started to, I remember about a year ago we did on the radio show where I was like, I put out an ad for like a male friend.
You?
Yeah, as a joke, remember? I was like, I've never had any friends that are boys.
Yeah.
And now I've got so many because a lot of musicians that I've worked with are boys.
That's right.
And I really have frothed on just being around, because I think there was a lot of sadness and grief and sense of loss and just being around other energies and male,
like our producers
but also around male energies, and I was taking a lot in where I was like, how do you do this, or how do you do that, or can I get that contact, or going to jams and meet, because it's very hard to do anything where you know nobody that plays an instrument. Although I like music, none of my mates, we're not going to gigs, you know, so like, how do you start, you know, and it feels incredibly overwhelming. I think this is good advice for anybody wanting to start, but not knowing how or when or why, like
just do one thing,
even just going to Googling how do you, and then you go to a how-to night and you make a friend, like way that you can network. And I think I had often let that side of our business up to you because you're good at it, that networking, and I think I kind of was like, oh, you're better at that than me. But I really think I kind of came into my own around that time where I was like, oh.
I think it's different as well when you've got a different thing you're networking about too. You know what I mean? Like, you have very many years of training in music, and you know, I think you were also quite confident in your knowledge of that, which helps with the networking, you know, like it helps with what you're talking about. It's not so much about the networking, it's about what you're pushing or what you're talking about or what you're selling or what you're interested in. You know, I think anybody can do it if they give a shit enough.
Yeah, I do. Think that's true.
Yeah. I want to I'm going to do October, November as one. Oh, fuck. You know, things are looking really good, mate. Like, I was feeling better. Things are great. I was like, we were making money from the pod channel. I started to do the website, very close to launching it as well. We were just doing the Bachelor Live show, so that was fun. We were out with an audience again. I was just feeling myself a bit.
Feeling myself.
And then my brother almost died. Fuck. I was like, really? And it's not his fault, but
no.
I was just like,
you're like, where, what, okay.
Give me a minute to just breathe for a second. And of course you don't when you've got your sibling in a coma and you're on a flight, you've read a text at 9:30 a.m. and you're on a flight at midday. Like, you're not breathing, you're just moving. and your sibling has had a marriage separation, moving into a divorce, so really has, you know, that next of kin contact is definitely a, it's a complex situation with parents that are certainly not up for the sole job, no way. And whether that's my judgment or not, it wasn't a relationship that was a trusting relationship all the time with particular parts of my parents' relationship with my brother. So it was just very clear it was my fucking job to really step up. And of course, that's what you do for a partner, a sibling or a friend. But it was just, you know, the world kind of opens up and you just go into survival mode, but also protection mode. And I've just never, ever experienced having someone so... Yes, it was life or death, and then you're there trying to create an energy to bring them back from a coma. It was just intense, and it was so different to all the other big things that had happened over the past 12 months. It brought out more stuff when you're like, fuck, how much more do I have to learn about myself, about my family, about... You know, and but look, the thing on this, on the flip side of that, is my brother and I will be transformed forever. You know, like falling asleep at his feet in the hospital like a dog. And I did not leave his bedside for, you know, a very long time. So it was like, I've never experienced anything like that as well. Like, I know I've said that a few times this year, but on the podcast, but I just hadn't. And there were times where I was angry and upset and frustrated that I was like, my God, I just don't know how much more I can handle. I just felt really over being that person in the people's I loved lives. You know, the person that your friends are, you're just constantly saying you're stressed, anxious, unhappy, you know. And actually, I never said I was unhappy because I was always very aware that I'd been thrown a lot of curveballs. And so I was just trying to manage those and manage them to the best of my ability. And it brought up an incredible amount of panic. It brought up an incredible amount of anxiety. It brought up an incredible amount of discovery in myself and my family dynamic again when I thought that I dealt with a lot. It was completely insane. And I did it a lot on my own. Ben was obviously working here and he was down, my husband, when he could be. But it was, yeah, it was, I don't have a word for that time. I don't have a word for it.
Survival?
It goes even further than that because it's like, survival is like when we lost our job, you got to pay the bills. Like he was dead. Like we lost, like, you know, I don't even think that can be the word because it's used so much of a way to live. And at one point he wasn't breathing on his own. He wasn't remembering who my mum was. Like, he'd come out from a coma and he didn't know who anyone was. We didn't know, even if he did, his physical body survive, we weren't sure what we were going to get from him. And then, you know, he got better and then he got worse, very, very worse again. So we were in that process again. So he was in a coma, ICU, got better. Then it was open heart surgery for him within a week. And he was
and moved so quickly. I think too that was such a big part of it, right? That was like a shock.
Well, it was a shock, and then he came out of the coma, so then that was a relief, and then he got better, and then he was, you know, it's traveled to the heart. We need to do open heart surgery. He's 34. Then he's back in the ICU with recovery from that, and I knew once the heart was done, he would be okay. I knew that. It was the moments before we detected the heart was the parts that were scary because I felt in my gut we hadn't had the full answer.
Yeah, okay.
So you weren't sure what was the answer was going to be. Yeah. And then when you know it's on the heart, even though it was the most incredibly humongous surgery and incredibly dangerous, they do it every day, you know. We've had Dr. Nikki Stamp on this very podcast and she was an incredible support. I was messaging her. And so it was a really incredible time. It was quite spectacular in the most – not in the way you describe fireworks, like in the way of life, you know. It was fucking I remember sitting on the phone to you trying to come in for that live show, that getting a flight to come in, and I sat on the floor in the Virgin line because my flight was cancelled, saying I have to go because I've got to concentrate on breathing because I'm about to black out. It just, the world starts caving in so much that you just, I'm like barely 56 kilo, like 57 kilo. I'm just like, I can't handle this. I can't do it. I'm just like, I'm too frail. And I wasn't frail just in my physical self. I was frail everywhere. because I've just been through the ringer. So, but we survived it and he's okay. And you just sit and fucking bathe yourself in things that you're grateful for, because it gets you through. You focus on what you are there to be grateful for. There are always things you can be grateful for. Always. And I really concentrate on that, enter more spirituality.
That period, what are we talking, August, September, October?
October, November.
I reckon that was a time I wasn't done with the year, like in the sense of when you were like, all right, I've had enough, let's cut this, you know, like mid-year when you were like 2018, you go fucking suck a dick.
Yeah, it was getting even more interesting after that. Yeah,
but I was ready. I was like, okay, I'm ready for something new now. Like I'm ready. I'm a bit itchy. Like what's happening? And I think I started to think about next year. I think I started to get not panicky, but I was a bit like, all right, well, I said I'd give myself 12 months and I started to freak. And I was like, I remember one weekend where I just said to my housemate, my bestie, I was like, she's like, what are you doing on the weekend? I said, yeah, I've just got a notebook and I'm just going to go away on my own on the weekend and I'm going to plan out my year. God love her, blind support. She's like, yeah, great. Anything I can do, let me know. And I think I went to the crystal shop. I was buying a crystal for a mate and I'm the hippie chick in there, Froth. And she's just like...
In Bondi?
Yeah. Obsessed with her. And I walked in. It was one of those really windy days. She goes, it's windy outside, but it's windy inside you too. I was like, she goes, and I kind of go in there also for like free kind of like...
Psychic ability.
Psychic help, because I'm also like... I can't afford a kinesiologist right now. So also, because I was also in a mode where we'd gotten a bit of, and I was starting to feel a bit more positive too. I was like, all right, and I'm done with looking back. I'm looking forward now. Yeah. We got a bit of money. I was able to pay my dad back part of the money that I'd owed him. So I was like, okay, what's working? What isn't working? What am I liking? What am I not liking? What am I leaning in towards? What am I completely avoiding and fucking up here? Like, you know, there's... Yeah, and be honest with yourself. So anyway, I walked into this bloody shop and she goes, just so you know, now's – and this was, I think, the Friday and I was planning on taking myself away for a night on Saturday because I was also like, I don't want to be going out and feeling hung and sorry for myself on a Sunday. I need to reset properly, you know, and people are starting to talk about the end of the year, but this, you know, Christmas decorations are starting to come out. I'm starting to freak because what have I got to show for this year? I was like, what if I, every other year of my adult life, I'm like, I've been able to say, I've climbed the ladder this much and at the end of this year, I'll be at this point most likely. And I was like, what the fuck have I achieved in this year? Which is ridiculous because there was a lot that we and that I had overcome and achieved.
Totally.
And she goes, just so you know, now's a terrible time to be planning.
She goes, crystal lady.
Yeah. She goes, and I started laughing. I go, and by that point I'd met a couple of different people and I'd started singing with different people and different DJs and I was starting to be like, right, it's time to put this down on paper. And, you know, and how will it look next year? And how will the podcast look next year? And how will music and how will my life? How will my – well, I probably have met a person by that point. So I was like, okay. Seriously. I'd bought a notebook and butcher's paper for this reason because I was like, bitch, be planning out our 2019. Like, and I was like, oh, my God. I started laughing to myself and I called Loz and I was like, ah. Yeah, I said I was going away. I said I've got ideas of what I'd like, but I was like trying to plan out to a T the way it will pan out is a ridiculous pressure to put on myself, isn't it? And she's like, yeah. I wasn't going to say anything, but, you know. So, yeah, I think – towards the end of this year, I've found, I guess, that sense of stability in other ways, like other relationships, other friendships, other places to have, I don't know, because I think at the same time I've also discovered this year something really important about myself in that I quite like, not instability, because I think that it like sounds a bit unhinged, but there probably is an element of that to me. Like I probably, I'm okay at this point in my life, looking towards next year, of knowing that there are certain things that I'd like to be involved and a part of and work, and though these things would be nice, but also I'm kind of open.
So December comes, we're here. So we're right here. So towards the end of November, I was starting to think about, I don't know, like maybe trying for a baby again. But it wasn't really so much of that focus, that it wasn't like, okay, so now I need to put everything on hold and do that. It was more about, where am I going to be my best self? Where am I going to offer some security to this potential new family? And how am I going to create space and this safety for that to come in, you know, because I really think that that's important to consider. And up until this point, it had been a bit, oh, well, if we fall pregnant, we fall pregnant. But now it was like, nah, I've got to take this seriously. And it was funny. We had this conversation laughing about an old radio person that we both knew and how they'd moved to this town and became a program director. And we were pissing ourselves because we'd worked with regional program directors for such a long time. And a lot of them were cowboys, but a lot of them had been on air and not quite made it on air, and then taken roles as program directors in smaller markets. And we would laugh about them endlessly for a long time for many reasons. But one of them was, oh no, guys washed up, can't get a job, blah, blah, blah. And it was probably me, but that's what you do sometimes with your mates. And it was interesting because we were talking about another one of that in the car, and we were laughing and you were laughing, but I remember feeling very different to how I'd felt in the past. I remember being very observant to how different I felt, because this was a conversation. We'd have many radio conversations over the years. And I thought, I kind of started to understand why this person had made that decision, because I said to you, oh, they're probably looking to start a family or, you know, something like that. And you said, yeah, they've got one child or it's on the way. Yeah. And it was different. It was different. I felt different. And it was weird. It was like I just started to see things really differently. And I started to open up to parts of myself that I wouldn't have strategized as a career. You know, I started to do single Pringle workshops and launch that side, and they were going, and they are going really well. So it was bizarre because I was like, I need to kind of focus on things that bring that stability. And so that's what led us to a conversation, which was about how we move forward together. And in that very moment, it's kind of poignant to come to the point that you were seeking some instability, not instability, but some flexibility.
Yeah.
And I was seeking stability.
The opposite. Which probably had been the case for a lot of the year.
Maybe, really? But I didn't realize. Mm. And also, I don't think it's necessarily stability. I just wanted some more structure.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd never ever found anything hard or unsettling or not always fun about doing this. But back end, it became really hard for me because we were both in very different places. And so this is hard to say. I didn't realize it was going to be so hard. But we decided that next year we would open up the doors to other possibilities for us. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that the door is closed for us as a team or working together, but it means that we won't actively be doing the podcast channel and the projects we've done in the past like we have. Things are going to be different.
Hilariously, when you...
My heart is racing.
I can see it. When you said... quite recently, you said, I don't think it was even in text, but I read it in your voice. You know how you often do that when you read someone's text? When you're like, and there's something I need to talk to you about, or I want to chat about. And I knew even before that point what it was. And I think we recorded something, and then we went and sat down at one of the very same places when
we've had plenty of meetings.
Literally, we'd had a lot of meetings, a lot of tough convos, but probably about a year before, we'd sat down and looked at each other and we'd gone, what are we going to do? Because we'd, you know, like, I guess with that blind faith and also not knowing what the fuck else to do, and you go into this just keep swimming mode because otherwise we'll sink. We had a very similar opening of a conversation, which is what are we going to do, but for a very different reason. And you started to get a bit teary as you started to talk, and I grabbed your hand and I was like, it's okay, because you've always been that person that, and I said that to you then, I think,
Well, you said you for being the one to bring this up.
Because I said you always are. You always are.
Yeah.
You're always the person.
And look, we're different ages too, which I think has been much more – it's been very hard for us to admit that this year because we've always prided ourselves on finding this middle mark. And it doesn't mean we won't as friends. It's just been – I don't know. It's been a different journey. And I think you can be friends with someone that is pregnant or not pregnant or single or – it's not about that. I think it's more just a point where – when you reflect on the things that you want to do or that you're unsure of how it's working, you can only really choose what you do know. And as you've said, you know, that kind of flexibility and that openness is important. I found other things that were important. And it's like, okay, well, let's keep the door open because if those two things can be met, we can continue to do projects like that. But for now, with the way we're currently working, mm-hmm. those two things can't be met in the way we've done things in the past. So it is a big, I don't want to say, it's just a big piece of news to share. But we're about to launch a brand new.
Insane, all of that.
Podcast with series. A collaboration with Marie Claire.
Which we're incredibly excited about. It is not a show or a podcast in this particular format or style that we've really approached or done before.
No.
So it feels new in a very different way. There's a lot of newness.
Yeah.
But then again, newness again.
That's right. And so I guess, you know, we don't feel like we have anything to announce, but we also feel like we need to say that things will be different. There will be content and everything going up for the next bit, so don't worry. And for those of you that are Patreon members, again, we are essentially wholeheartedly grateful, and there are options for you to subscribe or unsubscribe depending on how you feel. And we'll leave that open to you for the next few months because content will be less, it'll be more sporadic. Mm-hmm. And we just want to keep that door wide open, but it won't be as active as it's been this year.
I think the thing about you and I is, I don't know, like, oh, and you even said this when we had that conversation where we've had a lot of these kind of big conversations, I think sometimes you can feel quite alone in, oh my God, are you thinking this? Are you feeling this? But then it feels like every time, as much as there is this, we're in very different places personally and in our lives and in other areas, there is still this somehow, I don't know how, but this kind of underlying synergy in meeting each other in the middle in a very different way, but this real kind of deep respect and understanding of the reasons and the path that's led you to be like, I hear you, I feel the same way.
And I think it's this word that has been thrown around for years, and it is a creative word. I think most people understand it more in a creative sense, but we have a different connection to anyone that I have in my life. And there is a chemistry that will never be found again with anyone, which is why the door won't ever really close. But it is transition. Yeah. And it's hard because, you know, plenty of times I've been incredibly codependent on you and on what we were creating was. And to some degree, I think we've really stepped into this healthy space for each other, and it's time to cheer on the sidelines of what we want to do individually and continue to hold hands and connect and talk about things that we might want to continue to do together. But it's a next step, and that's always going to be scary, but I really do feel quite excited by it for both of us.
Same.
Yeah.
I think there's a real positivity around being able to be honest with yourself and each other about what the actuality is, not what you would like it to be.
Plus, Will Anderson does a podcast and then doesn't do one for like 8 months and then he comes back. Like, why do we have to be like fucking so full on with everything?
Mate, because we're like that on ourselves.
Seriously.
Because we've been clinging to like what the hell, like this. But
it's just time to have some space.
It's time yeah, it is time to have some space. And I just, yeah, I really, you hit the nail on the head when you say, I know I've said that so many times in so many different conversations, the relationship I have with you is not like any other in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really important that you protect that.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty sacred.
Yeah.
And being able to kind of notice shifts and accept transitions and the way things kind of work out and the way you're both kind of feeling individually and together as a unit, I don't think it's not protecting that to keep kind of bashing your head against the wall, wanting it to be something that it's not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like wanting to have this sense of control over, no, well, we said we'd do A, B, C. Well, you're not going to get to D if you don't.
And
you
know we don't what I mean? Fight. Like, honestly, there's nothing to tell here. Like, there's things that are uncomfortable. You know, when you work so closely with someone, it's not easy all the time. But there is no story here. Like, you know, so that's it.
Sometimes I wish there was. You'll probably get heaps more fucking listens or, you know, some kind of article breakup or some shit.
So we wish you a very Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.
And we thank you for your incredible support. It is not goodbye.
Nah.
And we hope you enjoy the Marie Claire series.
The summer series?
Yes.
There's also a lot to come, bro.
Yeah, there's summer series coming. And we'll continue to keep you updated on our socials with things that we do and pop up with in 2019. And we're very excited to reform that in a way that works for us. You can follow us both individually, which is so Stacey June on Instagram and StaceyJune.com is where you can find all of my coaching and different, I don't know, talks next year. The book looks like it's likely, so join my mail list and you'll find out some info from those types of things as they pop up. It's quite exciting.
It is. It's really exciting. Christy Mercer is me on Instagram, and you can hang around. There's a few exciting projects in the mix that I'm really, really excited about in terms of music and flexing that muscle in kind of different ways. It feels,
you might see her somewhere very, very big, very soon.
You might.
But, all right. So we,
fuck, 2018, what a year, huh?
Wow.
What a year.
We want to say goodbye. Again, rate or review this podcast because we didn't die.
No.
Again, if you are a VIP Posse member, you will have known this news before you hear it here. We will make sure that we've allowed you to know and have those decisions. Our content will be doubling and around, but you are able to keep subscribing or unsubscribe, whichever way you choose, at patreon.com/thethinkergirls. But again, from the bottom of our hearts, we are incredibly grateful.
Thank you.
Incredibly grateful for your support, and we would really appreciate it for you to continue that with us on all the projects we do individually as well. We know who you are. We know that you've got our back. We know you Instagram us separately and together, and it's a kind of a community that we'll have for life, no doubt about it.
Love you guys.
Bye.
If you like that podcast, there's heaps more where it came from. Go to thethinkergirls.com.au and go through all of our oldie eps.
Dare ya. This podcast is presented by Stacey June and Christy Mercer. It's also produced by me, Stacey June, and produced and edited by Jordan Lott.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.